This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. And we are going to get into so much swamp stuff this hour, so that'll be a good time. I'll probably get to some emails, try to remember to talk about what Aub got mad about for Mother's Day. But beyond that, you know what time it is, don't you? It's the start of the second hour on Monday, and that means it's Medal of Honor Monday time. Every Monday, we take a Medal of Honor citation and we read it so we can remember the heroes, remember their names. You don't know these names. I don't know these names. We should remember these names. Remember the names, remember the deeds, and more importantly, teach the next generation about what heroism actually is, about what it looks like. These are the people we should be looking up to. And remember, you can email in suggestions. When I give out the email address, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, love, hate, death threats, but Medal of Honor suggestions are more than welcome. Now, I want to clarify something, though. I'm not asking for these because we necessarily need them. Believe me, we know where to find the Medal of Honor citations. It's just lots of times these things mean something to someone. It's a family friend or a member of the family, or you met him once. And those are always cool things to kind of humanize the story. So if you have those, you're welcome to email them in. Just know there also is a backlog. It's really weird. The show got popular. Don't ask me why. And now there's like a year-long backlog for these things. So it might be some time before we get to your particular email and suggestion. Now, this one was actually from June of last year. Like I told you, it's about a year-long backlog. Guy said his Medal of Honor suggestion is for a Donald Arthur Gary. This is from the email. This man has an FFG named after him. I believe it's a guided missile ship. I hired a kid from Cal Maritime to be my assistant at the then Mare Island shipyard when I was the general manager. His grandfather was best friends with this man, and he told me stuff about what really happened, and it was much worse than what it said in the citation. Having been in the Navy for 8 years, I could only imagine. Very impressive. And so, without further ado, let's honor World War II Navy. He was a lieutenant at the time. Donald Arthur Gary, born in Findlay, Ohio.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty as an engineering officer attached to the USS Franklin when that vessel was fiercely attacked by enemy aircraft during the operations against the Japanese home islands near Kobe, Japan, 19th of March, 1945. Stationed on the third deck when the ship was rocked by a series of violent explosions, set off her own ready bombs, rockets, and ammunition by hostile attack, Lieutenant Gary unhesitatingly risked his life to assist several hundred men trapped in a messing department filled with smoke and no apparent egress. As the imperiled men below decks became increasingly panic-stricken under the raging fury of incessant explosions, He confidently assured them he would find a means of effecting their release and, groping through the dark, debris-filled corridors, ultimately discovered an escape way. Staunchly determined, he struggled back to the messing compartment three times despite menacing flames, flood water, and the ominous threat of sudden additional explosions, on each occasion calmly leading his men through the blanketing pall of smoke until the last one had been saved. Selfless in his concern for his ship and his fellows, he constantly rallied others about him, repeatedly organized and led firefighting parties into the blazing inferno on the flight deck, and when fire rooms one and two were found to be inoperable, entered number three fire room and directed the raising of steam in one boiler in the face of extreme difficulty and hazard. An inspiring and courageous leader, Gary rendered self-sacrificing service under the most perilous conditions, and by his heroic initiative, fortitude, and valor, was responsible for saving of several hundred lives. His conduct throughout reflects the highest credit upon himself and upon the U.S. Navy. Now, this needs probably a little bit more context, because maybe on its surface, because he wasn't eating grenades and charging machine gun nests, maybe this didn't blow you away like some of the other action movie ones have. I will tell you, this story in particular might be the bravest one I've ever read. Let me explain why. We've talked before about a ship. Just picture a big Navy ship. A Navy ship is a gigantic ball of shrapnel. It's all steel, iron, it's all metal. Okay, so that's one thing to consider. Another thing to consider is it's full of explosives and flammable things. It's full of fuel, jet fuel, or aviation fuel. It'd be avgas in this case. Aviation fuel. It's full of bombs, black powder. It is one gigantic explodable thing if fire gets out of control. So that alone makes it terrifying. I have long said in naval combat in that way, it for me would be the scariest thing in the world. Anyway, so just the fire, just the metal alone would be bad enough. But there's also the fear of drowning, the fear of darkness. So the fear of burning, but on top of that, we're going to get to the fire room thing in a moment, the fear of scalding with steam. So I want you to just picture this scenario, okay? I want you to picture you're in a 15 by 15 foot steel room. You're in a room. It's a steel room, okay? There's a big box of explosives, of black powder sitting in the corner. The lights go out in the steel room. The room begins to fill up with water. That's on the bottom of it. On the top of it, there are flames heating up the room and licking everything around it and burning everything around it. And the flames are inching their way towards the black powder. The room is full of smoke. The room is filling up with water. The room is pitch black, and the flames are about to explode the black powder. That gives you some idea, if you're using your imagination, what it is like below deck on a Navy ship that has been bombed. They were dive bombers. They dropped a couple 250-kilogram bombs on this particular ship. That's what happened. That gives you some tiny idea of what it would be like to be trapped below deck on a Navy ship that has had bombs dropped on it. This particular ship was also leaning is what that means. It had been bombed so badly, it wasn't moving, it was taking on water, it was leaning to one side, you're losing power, everything's on fire, filled with smoke, and taking on water, and this guy finds out 300 men are down below. He then proceeds to lead rescue party after rescue party down to get them and guide them through the burns and the agony. And then, as far as the fire room stuff goes, this is probably my biggest fear in the world, which makes this one so uniquely awesome to me. The ships use steam. These World War II ships use steam to power themselves. Horrible story after horrible story I have read is about these steam compartments, I'll put it that way to make it easy to understand, exploding in combat. And you read these stories about these Navy guys who die or are horribly injured from scalding. And have you ever seen the movie RoboCop? I wouldn't recommend it for the kids, but the original RoboCop. Did you ever see that scene where the guy got hit with the acid and he's walking around and kind of his skin and everything is draped off of his body because he melted? That, you know, that's real. That happened to our sailors in World War II. That's what happens when you read the description of guys who get scalded. This guy saw that in two different fire rooms, and he walked into the third one to get it up and running so the ship could move again. Could you imagine volunteering to go stand by the exploding ball of steam so you can save your ship and your men? It may not have sounded like much when I read the citation, but when you... that's basically the sum of all fears. I don't want to burn. I don't want to drown. I don't want to be scalded. I don't want to do it in the dark. I don't want to... And this dude put himself down there voluntarily to get our sailors home. Pretty freaking awesome, right? Pretty freaking awesome. And he lived. How about that? He lived to see gold prices skyrocket, which is good. What, Chris? I'm sure he liked that. Look, he's dead now, but if he was still alive, he would have seen gold hit record numbers. Just hit records. And remember that talk we had about the China-America trade deal that isn't really a deal? We got a 90-day reprieve until something's going to have to be addressed. Why don't you take this time to get gold in your retirement? Maybe your physical possession? Let Gold Co. handle it for you? I partnered with Gold Co. because I trust them. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. I am a customer. I've already dealt with them, and they just make it easy. There's a reason they got that A-plus rating. Let them help you. At least find out what they can do for you. 855-817-GOLD or go to jessielikesgold.com. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I hope all the mothers out there had a wonderful Mother's Day. A special post-Happy Mother's Day to my wonderful mother. She's the best. And my wife, who's a wonderful mother to my kids, did have a little something to say today. You see, yesterday, we made sure we treated her right on Mother's Day. I got her a little something, and the boys got her a little something. Luke went to some place that sells soaps and lotions and all that other stuff and got her, you know, the stuff women like, all that weird, fruity, smelly stuff. James, my oldest, got up and made her scrambled eggs and brought it to her in bed. So I don't want to act like Ob was ignored, okay? But we'll get back to politics in a second. There's a system in our house, a dishes system. And the dishes system is quite specific, okay? You need to get your dishes. You pick them up and you take them over to the sink. Make sure the food is off of it and everything. And then you put the dishes in the sink. When the dishwasher is done, the boys, part of their responsibilities around the home, is unloading the dishwasher. Very common. But in general, we are not allowed to load the dishwasher because Ob says we don't do it right. She says it's inefficient and that we just throw things in there. And that's only partially true. But she said we are no longer allowed to load the dishes. So we put stuff in the sink. Well, apparently, Ob was hoping yesterday would be the day that after all the cooking for her and everything else, that we would just clear out the sink and run the dishwasher so she didn't have to do anything. And she wakes up this morning and her and I are having a cup of coffee in the kitchen. And she said, I want you to look at this. And I looked and there was dishes in the sink. And I looked and I said, Well, yeah, you've got some dishes to do. And apparently that was the wrong thing. She said, do you mean to tell me that on Mother's Day, you boys slowly but surely filled up the sink with dishes all day long, and it never once occurred to any of you to maybe do the dishes on Mother's Day? And I'll be honest. No, it didn't. It didn't occur to me once. What, Chris? What? That's exactly my point, Chris, and that was the argument I made this morning. Chris said the last time I did it, I got yelled at. That is verbatim what I told her this morning after she brought it up. And I'll tell you, her response was not that nice. It wasn't that nice at all. She did not see things my way. All right, quit. Let's do some emails. JK47, I don't want the Epstein files released to the public. As Pam Bondi made clear, the FBI is in possession of tens of thousands of videos which are clearly not suitable for mass consumption. I don't want files. I want arrests. Okay. Well, let's deal with this, shall we? Cash Patel, I didn't play it last week, but he had to sit in front of the Senate and answer some questions, and Senator Kennedy of Louisiana had some things to say.
Did Jeffrey Epstein hang himself, or did somebody kill him?
Senator, I believe he hung himself in a cell in the Metropolitan Detention Center.
Are you going to release all the information about that?
Senator, we are working through that right now with the Department of Justice.
When do you think you'll have it done, Cash?
I think in the near future, sir.
Like before I die?
Senator, we've been working on that, and we're doing it in a way that protects victims and also doesn't put out into the ether information that is irrelevant for production of the public, such as CSAM.
Okay. So I've got a bunch of emails about this. We have more Epstein files emails than I can count. So I wanted to talk about what he just said right there and where we're at, and the swamp and powerful people and things like that. First of all, you already know who Jeffrey Epstein is. Billionaire, financier, trafficked girls, women with other powerful men. You are aware of some of Epstein's associations the same way I'm only aware of some. We're never going to know. We know, this is public record, we know that he was signed into Bill Clinton's White House several times. We know that Bill Clinton and he were so close that he had a painting of Bill Clinton. We know that. We know that Bill Gates had some sort of a relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. We don't know the depths of that relationship, but Bill Gates has been forced. He's been asked about it several times on camera. We know another possibly revealing little thing is that Bill Gates's ex-wife, Melinda, she flat out told a publication that part of the reason she divorced Bill Gates was his association with Jeffrey Epstein. Now, Ob's been mad at me a million times. She's even been mad at people I'm friends with a million times. She's never threatened to walk out the door over it. So, boy, that must have been a relationship that Melinda really didn't approve of. So we got all that. But let's talk for a while. This is going to take a while about the swamp. Yeah, some of it will be about Epstein, but about the swamp and corruption and what we have ahead of us. All right? Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, including Medal of Honor Monday, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. All right, so Cash Patel says the FBI, he couldn't possibly have been any more vague, that they're going to release the files. They're efforting it. They're working on it. We don't have a date. Soon, sometime soon. Right? It sounded very, very noncommittal. Let's set the Epstein files aside, because I've told you my thoughts on the release of the files. Some of that protect the victim stuff is real. I'll just tell you that. Some of it is real. Remember, it's a very dangerous thing to have damaging information on rich, powerful men. It's a very dangerous thing. It can be hazardous to your health and always has been. When there is somebody who has means, money, and power, if he sets aside, if he doesn't have any morality or sets aside his morality, if there's someone out there, somebody, I'm going to say the word unimportant, but I hope you know what I mean by that. Somebody who doesn't have a lot of power and they're causing you problems for a lot of rich, powerful people. Well, that's a pretty easy fix, isn't it? What if this somebody just stopped existing? Anyway, so some of the protecting the victim stuff is real. It does exist. Remember, some of the stuff, too, is when that list comes out, if we ever do actually get a list, when that list comes out, what are you going to think about every name on that list? I know what I'm going to think. I'm a human. The second I see that someone flew on Jeffrey Epstein's jet, maybe visited his gross little private island, I'm automatically going to think that person is some sort of a rapist or a dirtball. I'm automatically going to think that. Well, that might not be true. What if it was just a business flight? I mean, he took those too. He didn't become a billionaire financier just by trafficking underage girls. He clearly did other things in the business world. Maybe there are people on there who are innocent. I don't know. I don't know the names. But beyond that, let's talk swamp. Because there was a Trump soundbite last week that I want to play again because I have a little bit of a different take than I had before on it. Not that I have at all changed my mind. Not at all. But I listened to it again a couple times this weekend. I don't know why, but I couldn't get it out of my mind. So I listened to it a couple times yesterday. You know that Trump, he pulled the nomination of Ed Martin. Ed Martin was going to be the head of the D.C., the head U.S. attorney in D.C. You know that that particular area is really the beating heart of the swamp. It protects the swamp. It throws Republicans in cages. I mean, you could make the argument, and I would make the argument, that particular area is as evil a justice system as exists on planet Earth. And I mean North Korea, Russia, anywhere. That particular justice system, there is no justice. Democrat judges, Democrat prosecutors, Democrat juries, Democrats never go to jail. If you're a Republican who spits on the sidewalk, you go to prison for the rest of your life. It's that kind of an evil, evil, evil place. So Ed Martin was supposed to go in there, clean it out. Republican Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina destroyed his nomination. I was frustrated, and I still am. I'm not saying I've changed my mind, that Trump didn't threaten him, didn't just crush him the way Trump will do to anybody, Republican or Democrat. But I listened to the soundbite again, and I'm still frustrated he didn't crush him. But I heard something a little different than I did the first couple times I listened. Listen to this.
He wasn't getting the support from people that I thought. You know, he's done a very good job. Crime is down 25% in D.C. During his period of time. I'm very disappointed in that. But I have so many different things that I'm doing now with the trade. You know, I'm one person. I can only make, boom, I can only lift that little phone so many times in a day. But we have somebody else that will be great. I just want to say Ed is unbelievable. And hopefully we can bring him into, whether it's DOJ or whatever, in some capacity, because really outstanding. To me, it was disappointing, I'll be honest. I have to be straight. I was disappointed. A lot of people were disappointed. But that's the way it works sometimes.
Setting aside my frustration that he didn't blast Tom Tillis, you know what I heard as I listened to that over the weekend? I'm only one guy. I got to pick up the phone. I can only do that so many times. Frustration. Exhaustion. Maybe possibly overwhelmed at the depth of corruption, at the amount of drainage that needs to take place. He sounds exhausted and frustrated. In that clip, that's how he sounds. And you don't hear him sound like that a lot, but that's how he sounds. And that's very, very understandable. Because let's talk about this. We talk all the time about how there's 1,000 political battles we have to fight. if we really want to drain the swamp and save the country and whatnot, that it's more than just a presidential election. We talked about that before, but think about the worst knot you've ever had to try to untie in your life. Everybody has them. Anyone who's ever gone fishing has had them. So fishermen know exactly what I'm talking about, but maybe it was a bunch of wires or one wire, your shoestrings, whatever it may be. At some point in time, you have encountered a nightmarish knot in your life. Well, first, let's address how it got there. How did it get to be so bad? Time. It took generally a lot of time and effort, maybe not the good kind of effort, but you left the wires all together in the same box for a few years. You move three times, everything's shaking around, moving around. You come back and you've got something that's just impossible. It takes time to get a knot to a place where you can't untie it. Now, how do you untie it? Time. Due diligence. Lots and lots of time and focused effort. You don't look at it and snap your fingers and untie it. That's not how it works. It got that way over a long period of time, and it's going to take a long time to get rid of it. When we look at the rampant criminality and corruption in Washington, D.C., we want, and it's a good thing that you want it. It's a good thing that I want it. We want it stopped. We want the swamp drain. We want that. That's what we want. And we have every right to demand the people we elect to go try to do it. But we also have to understand that the corruption is very, very deep in this country. The knot, it didn't get tied under Joe Biden. It didn't get tied under Obama or the first Trump or Clinton or Reagan or Nixon or whoever. Decades and decades and decades of negligence by the American public, not caring about politics. I don't do politics. When's the game on? Decades and decades of that kind of thinking has led to where we are now, where the largest criminal organization on the planet is our government. And the corruption is everywhere. And the truth is, it's going to take a lot of time to untie that knot. Did you know this little stat came out over the weekend? We control the House and Senate, and this Congress has sent Trump the fewest bills in 70 years. It was the Korean War the last time we had a Congress do this little. There's a ton of work to do by all of us. Trump, House, Senate, governors, state house, local, as a ton of work for a ton of time, and it's going to take time. I mean, did you hear this story about what the Biden administration did? You may think I'm over the top when I say the largest criminal enterprise on the planet. Oh, wait till I play you this little bit. Before I play you that, let me do this. Let me get you some free courses from Hillsdale College. And no, it's not one of these things where you take half a course and then they want to charge you $1,000. Hillsdale's offering more than 40 courses online for free. Do you want to understand capitalism? Really, really understand it. Not whatever we have now, but real freedom and free markets and private property rights and human nature and how that is taken into account. Do you want that? Hillsdale will teach you that for free. They have an understanding capitalism course. It's very interesting. You want to learn about the Roman Republic, about the Constitution? Hillsdale's offering this to us for free. You can do this on the weekend. You can do this on a road trip. Listen to it. Listen to them. Why wouldn't you do it at no cost? Hillsdale.edu/Jesse to enroll for no cost. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. You want to talk criminality? Here it is. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So I'm going to work as hard as I can to not get your blood pressure shooting through the roof here. But we're going to talk about the depths of corruption and how, I mean, I really do understand Trump's exhaustion. I brought up Congress. We'll come back to them in a moment. Chris Wright, He went on Fox News and talked about the Biden administration. Maybe you think I'm being over the top when I say the United States government is the largest criminal organization on the planet. Listen to what the Biden administration did.
A little over $40 billion was supplied in support through the Loan Program Office in its 15 years of existence. A little over $40 billion. And
okay, pause. Loan Office, I just want to make sure you're clear on the numbers because he moves pretty fast. $40 billion over 15 years. This is a government loan office, right? $40 billion was given out over 15 years. Now listen to what the Biden administration did after he lost the election.
Then almost $100 billion in the 76 days after they lost the election and before President Trump's inauguration. Like, if those were great ideas that were benefit to the America, why didn't they do it in the 2.5 years after the Inflation Reduction Act was passed? Why did they wait till they lost the election? They changed terms and loan covenants. They basically tried to set bombs to make it hard for us to unwind the mess they'd created. That's just not a responsible way to treat American taxpayer money and to move our energy system forward. So, yes, we've stepped into.
Just take this into account. And I know communists hate listening to the show. And I know that asking you to come over to my side is it's futile. I'm not trying to do that. But I really want you to consider this. The Biden administration, they lost an election to Donald Trump and then proceeded to funnel $1.3 billion per day to their various friends in NGOs until Trump officially got sworn in. $100 billion in taxpayer money funneled as fast as humanly possible to left-wing groups before Trump could get sworn in. That is so criminal and evil, it's staggering. Now, when you listen again, does the exhaustion and frustration maybe make more sense?
We have somebody else that will be great. I just want to say Ed is unbelievable, and hopefully we can bring him into whether it's DOJ or whatever, in some capacity, because really outstanding. It was, to me, it was disappointing, I'll be honest. I have to be straight. I was disappointed. A lot of people were disappointed.
Sounds tired. Chip Roy came on my show on I'm Right, and he was talking about Congress. You see, Joe Biden did something else. They passed, I just still can't believe they called it, the Inflation Reduction Act. They just took a gigantic Green New Deal bill. They just took a $1 trillion bill that did nothing about inflation and called it the Inflation Reduction Act. Just the most shameless, evil, freaking liars in history. Anyway, it's a horrible, evil bill that destroyed so much and continues to do so. But we have a GOP House and we have a GOP Senate and we have a GOP president. Why haven't they repealed it? I asked Chip Roy that question.
So the Republicans saying they won't repeal the IRA, they're just Republicans getting fat federal checks for their district, right?
That's exactly right. And so to be clear, the CBO said that we could save about $750 billion. Right now, I'm being told that they're going to find $400 billion in savings. You know what that really means is $350 billion are a bunch of like, hey, I need to bring home the checks to my corn states, or let me be fair, there are Texans. Oh, we have oil and gas companies that wanted their free money too. I don't mind.
Exhausting, isn't it? Democrats cram through an evil $1 trillion handout to their friends, and we can't get rid of it because some Republicans want the handouts too. It's exhausting. I sympathize with people. I genuinely do. I sympathize with people who take breaks from politics. I don't sympathize when you walk away, because we can't do that. We can't stop bailing water. But people would just say, Jesse, I'm done for a week. Jesse, I'm done for a month. This kind of stuff can wear you out, this level of criminality. And then when you look at the losers on our side who are supposed to be fighting for us, like the Democrats. Did you see the Democrats? I'm sure you saw the video of the Democrats assaulting federal agents at the ICE facility. They didn't just show up and chant. They're elbowing them, pushing them. If you or I showed up at a federal facility and we so much as laid a finger, just touched a federal agent, that would be a felony. If we elbowed one, well, I hope you like talking to your wife and kids through the prison glass, because you're going to for a very long time. Democrats did it out in the open, on camera. This was Republican Michael McCaul.
I'm just curious, should ICE be arresting or even threatening to arrest members of Congress?
I mean, that's obviously a very drastic move. I would only do that if they were complicit with a crime. I don't know all the facts behind this. If they were just...
It's a drastic move. Isn't it so revealing how the two sides see themselves? Democrat politicians, they see themselves as the vanguard of the revolution. They are so committed to being that vanguard, they will mob up at an ICE facility and on camera, they will assault federal officers trying to get illegals released. When Republicans are asked, should those criminals, because that's a criminal act, should those criminals be arrested, we get mealy-mouthed crap like this.
I'm just curious, should ICE be arresting or even threatening to arrest members of Congress?
I mean, that's obviously a very drastic move. I would only do that if they were complicit with a crime. I don't know all the...
A drastic move? Of course. The time is finally here to throw criminals in prison, and all we get from... Well, I mean, I don't want to be drastic. Let's not take things too far. That's drastic. I don't want to... That's... frustrates me to no end. It frustrates me there are people who still don't own an IQ sense. How many times do I have to tell you about the IQ sense? That frustrates me too. I keep telling you, it's the greatest thing I've ever bought. I have requests for brisket. I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm a complete rookie. And people in my neighborhood who know what they're doing ask me for leftovers. Chris, how was the brisket I made? Yeah. You know why? Because I buy the brisket. I put the seasoning on it. I put the IQ sense in it, and I throw it on the smoker and walk away. I don't have to think about it again. In fact, I don't think about it again. My phone tells me when it's done. You leave the thermometer in the meat. You want one? You have 15% off. You have to go to chefiq.com and get yourself an IQ sense. They sell ones, twos, threes. I think they even sell fours. I use the twos, but get whatever you want. ChefIQ.com. Promo code Jesse gets you that 15% off. So make sure you take advantage. We'll talk a little bit more swamp drainage, but it's too heavy because I don't want to spend too much time on it. We have to talk about Nazi files in Argentina and gambling on chess. Next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.